During the pandemic, leaders in some organizations made errors that led to a loss of trust and engagement in their clinical staff. Now, these organizations are faced with the need to gain, or in many cases, regain trust with the completely disengaged staff. Welcome to Modern Practice, the podcast where we face the pressing healthcare issues of today. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva, and on this episode, we welcome Dr. David Munch, who will help me examine how to apply what we've learned about leadership and pitfalls to avoid to create staff resilience during the pandemic and beyond. David, first of all, tell us a little bit about your background and your current role here at Vizient.
My name is Dave Munch. I'm an internal medicine doctor by background, and I'm a senior principal for Vizient and oversee some of our process engineering and some of our quality work. My background is I practiced medicine for about 20 years in the Denver area and had, near the end of that time, some part-time administrative jobs and eventually was given the opportunity to be a chief operating officer for a 410-bed community hospital out there. And the reason why I was given that role was because they had very difficult physician relationships and they figured putting a doctor in an administrative role could help them improve those relationships. So I was given an opportunity there and enjoyed the work.
Thank you, David. Actually, I couldn't think of a better guest to be on this discussion. It's great to have you in the podcast. So staff resilience has been a major topic during the surge and in preparation for potential upcoming surges. Can you comment about that?
Boy, staff resilience is being tested in a big way right now. First of all, staff resilience was an issue prior to COVID. We were already talking about physician shortages and the concern around how do we give care for the baby boomers that are sort of looming around the demand cycle. Now layer on COVID, and we have even more exhausted, both physically and emotionally, a number of providers. And I think that will accelerate, if you will, the burnout and maybe the turnover around some of this. So I think it's a huge concern, and we cannot wait. We have to respond to and support physicians and other care providers right now with respect to resilience.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. We've learned of many organizations where leadership excelled in engaging their staff during the pandemic. But unfortunately, we also learned of other organizations, well, let's just say they could have done better. I believe you have a story you could share with us that actually leads to this.
When I was given this job as a chief operating and chief quality officer, I had not been really much of an administrator in the past, so I was able to design my own administrative style. And I designed one based upon what I'd known. As a physician, when I hit the hospital doors, I would start rounding. My hospital style was to round. So I would round on the floors. I had the opportunity to have good conversations with not only the staff that reported to me, but also many physicians. And it also occurred to me that I needed to round on the physician groups as well. And what I learned was 80% of our business at the hospital was being performed by about 20% of our docs. And so it wasn't that hard to set up a rounding schedule where I went to their office, and they didn't come to mine. I went to their office on either a monthly or a quarterly basis and would ask the questions, what are the pebbles in your shoes? What are the frustrations that you have? What can I do to make it easier for you to give the right care? And we would have these dialogues and I would write down the issues that we had and I'd spend that month or that quarter working on them. And then come back to them later saying, we've been able to fix this. We didn't fix this, but we're able to do this instead. And I've made progress on this issue. I was very serious about listening to and not forgetting the issues that they told me and coming back to them later with progress on those. And I had this one saying that if I have to say no, say yes. So if I couldn't do one thing, I'd say, well, I wasn't able to handle that, but I was able to do this. Would that suffice or does that help some? So we were able to, over the course of a few years, reestablish trust with the physician in the organization and reestablish this collegial relationship that resulted in some actually amazing quality improvements.
David, what you just gave was a wealth of information on what we've learned here at Vizient during the pandemic and what's needed for leadership. Visibility, transparency, the ability to not only give feedback, but receive feedback as well, and then following up. So first, I want to start out with trust. So I've mentioned on this podcast Stephen Covey's book, The Speed of Trust. And the book states that three factors needed for building trust are character, competency, and consistency. What's your take on that?
Boy, Tom, those are wonderful. And anything that comes from Covey, I'll read. But I have actually a few other characteristics that also start with C, it turns out, around this. I think you have to be a communicator. You have to communicate these issues effectively to go along with the other ones. And you also have to be a collaborator. You have to be willing to set up a partnership with your physicians and deal with their needs as well as your own. So if we could turn this into five C's, that I think would be an ideal model.
That's great feedback. So actually going into the communication issue, clinicians respond emotionally and cognitively to issues pertaining to their practices. So what does one do to actually mitigate that as a leader?
I tell you, it's interesting. And at the beginning of my tenure in administration, I had to be very patient because the level of frustration with the providers was so high that commonly they'd come out emotionally. And what I learned was that when somebody starts giving you an emotional response, be quiet. Sit back there and listen and let them, if you will, vomit all of their frustrations on your desk because that's cathartic, number one. Number two, it shows respect that their issues are legitimate. And what I learned was if I did that and acknowledged the emotional part and acknowledged the logistical frustrations, over time, the emotional component of the communication actually fixed itself. And so one thing I would tell hospital administrators is don't be afraid of the emotional aspect of this. Lean into it. Honor it and stick with the message underneath the emotional delivery. And let's see where you can go.
So I get that. And I think what clinicians need most during a time of crisis is trust. I think that goes without saying. Stability. I'm hearing compassion. But what about hope?
You know, it's interesting. There's another, and I don't know if it starts with C, but another aspect of good administration is to have the systems in place to actually address the frustrations and not take a year to do so. So I think hope comes from them seeing solutions. Hope comes from them seeing progress. And so it's important, number one, to have the systems in place to fix the problems that you hear about or that are put on your desk, but also to communicate them. Another aspect of this is if you have a situation that's a tough situation, but is legitimate, don't avoid it. It's tempting to not want to do, if you will, the burdensome things in administration, but you have to. Part of the issue of character is to deal with stuff. And if you have to say no, don't flower it up. Just say, I'm sorry, but I couldn't get this done. And then the trust also comes in that regard. They say, he's not hiding something from me. So it's a matter of say yes when you can, fix the problems that they have. And if there's something you just can't do, say it up front. Don't hide it. Don't avoid it.
David, I could not overemphasize the importance of transparency. Probably one of the biggest errors I committed as a leader, particularly a clinical leader, is that I would sugarcoat sometimes certain responses because I was afraid they were going to be angry with the truth. And truth is, I actually caused issues with trust because I wasn't as transparent. So you mentioned it took about 2 years, but with looming cost issues and declining revenue streams expected, many of our members just don't have that amount of time. So any suggestions how you can actually accelerate the process?
Yeah. And 2 years actually was the trust component because they needed to see demonstrations that you would fix things. It didn't take 2 years to launch into solving the problems. That started immediately. But I did also find that I had to help grow the systems for responsiveness and problem solving. I had to mentor and tutor the people that reported to me around those skill sets. So the skill sets of improvement, the skill sets of problem solving are just that. Skill sets, and you don't necessarily have them genetically. A good leader also has to be a coach, has to develop these skill sets in a broad base. Because if the only people making improvements are the 3 or 4 people in your improvement department, you have a constraint issue, you have a bandwidth issue, and you cannot do enough improvements to be effective. You have to distribute problem solving and systems responsiveness broadly throughout your organization, which takes development and coaching. And so what took a while to get, if you will, a well-oiled machine that could solve a lot of problems simultaneously, that is what took a year or two to develop.
So one way we've learned to alleviate staff resilience is through the team approach to care, actually having all staff members work at top of license. What are your thoughts on this?
Team-based care is critically important and absolutely necessary going forward for a number of reasons. First of all, it is excellent care. The good teams provide excellent care, and there's plenty of examples out there to demonstrate that. But two, we are coming into provider shortages. We have no choice but to distribute the tasks in healthcare to the top of people's licenses. And just having a group of people together doesn't necessarily constitute a team. A team is made by those people knowing each other's roles trusting each other and performing to the top of their license and coordinating the care with the other people on the team. So teamwork development is critically important. We have no choice but to deliver team-based care. And maybe one of the silver linings of COVID is it forced the issue. The whole issue of virtual-based care, of telephone-based care systems, has greatly accelerated out of necessity. And it's a wonderful thing. Kaiser Permanente has been doing sort of phone-based hospital visits for a number of years now, and they've gone through a lot of the learning curves and actually have a fairly good system. And now other systems are starting to do the same. And that's a component of the teamwork, not only the various type of disciplines you have on your team, but the modes of giving the medical services is also becoming more complex over time.
This is the end of part one of our discussion. David, thanks for joining us. In the next episode, we'll continue our discussion on how to maintain staff trust and engagement after the surge. And to our listeners, please join us for other Modern Practice podcasts on the Vizient Medical Leadership Channel. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. And also, please listen and subscribe to SG2 Perspectives, the podcast in the latest healthcare strategy. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thanks for listening.